ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Chant the prayers together. Hare Krishna. Today morning we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 2, chapter entitled Prayers by Demigods. Text number 30.
त्वयम्बुजाक्षाखिलसत्त्वधाम्नि समाधिनावेशितचेतसैके त्वत्पादपोते महत्कृतेन कुर्वन्ति गोवत्सपदं भवाब्धिम्।
Concentrating one's meditation on your lotus feet, which are the reservoir of all existence, and by accepting those lotus feet as the boat by which to cross the ocean of nescience, one follows in the footsteps of Mahajanas, great saints, sages and devotees. By this simple process, one can cross the ocean of nescience as easily as one steps over the hoofprint of a calf. Purport by His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. The true mission in life is to cross the ocean of nescience, of repeated birth and death. Those in the darkness of ignorance, however, do not know this mission. Instead, being carried away by the waves of material nature, prakrite kriyamanani gune karmani sarvasha, they are undergoing the tribulations of mrityu samsara vartmani, repeated birth and death. But persons who have achieved knowledge by the association of devotees follow the Mahajanas, Mahatkritena. Such a person always concentrates his mind upon the lotus feet of the Lord and executes one or more of the 9 varieties of devotional service. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, Padasevanam. Simply by this process, one can cross the insurmountable ocean of nescience. Devotional service is powerful in any form. Shri Vishnu Shravane Parikshid Abhavad Vayasakhi Kirtane Bhakti Samrata Sindhu 1, 2, 265. According to this verse, Maharaj Parikshit became liberated by fully concentrating his mind on hearing the Lord's holy name, attributes and pastimes. Similarly, Shukdev Goswami simply glorified the Lord, and by speaking on the subject matters of Krishna that constitute the entire Srimad Bhagavatam, he too was liberated. One may also be liberated simply by sakya, friendly behavior with the Lord. Such is the power of devotional service, as we learn from the examples set by the Lord's many pure devotees.
Swayambhu Narada Shambhu Kumara Kapilo Manu Prahallado Janako Bhishmo Balir Vaya Sakir Vayam Bhagavatam 6th Canto 3rd Chapter Text Number 20.
We have to follow in the footsteps of such devotees, for by this one easy process one can cross the great ocean of nescience just as one might cross a small hole created by the hoof of a calf. Here the Lord is described as Ambujaksha or the lotus eyed. By seeing the eyes of the Lord, which are compared to lotus flowers, one becomes so satisfied that one does not want to turn his eyes to anything else. Simply by seeing the transcendental form of the Lord, a devotee is at once fully absorbed in the Lord in his heart. This absorption is called Samadhi. Dhyana avasthita tadgatena manasa pashyantiyam yogina. Bhagavatam 12.13.1. A yogi is fully absorbed in thoughts of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, for he has no other business than to think of the Lord always within his heart. It is also said, Samashritaye padapallavaplavam mahat padam punya yasho murare bhavambudirvatsa padam param padam 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 yadvipadham natesham. For one who has accepted the boat of the lotus feet of the Lord, who is the shelter of the cosmic manifestation and is famous as Murari, the enemy of the demon Mura, the ocean of the material world is like the water contained in the calf's hoofprint. His goal is Parampadam or Vaikuntha, the place where there are no material miseries. not the place where there is danger at every step. Bhagavatam, 10th canto, 14th chapter, text number 58. This process is recommended here by authorities like Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva, Swayambhu, Naradaha, Shambhu. And therefore, we must take to this process in order to transcend nescience. This is very easy, but we must follow in the footsteps of great personalities, and then success will be possible. In regard to the word Mahatkritena, it is also significant that the process shown by great devotees is not only for them, but also for others. If things are made easy, this affords facility for the person who has made them easy and also for others who follow the same principles. The process recommended in this verse for crossing the ocean of nescience is easy not only for the devotee but also for common persons who follow the devotee. Mahajano ena gatasa pantha. Hare Krishna. It's a very beautiful prayer we are reading today, where the demigods are offering prayers and emphasizing on meditating on the Lord's lotus feet. Actually, we were discussing last month also when we were about to begin the prayers, how this chapter is very powerful because this contains some of the best prayers that we can find in Srimad Bhagavatam. And these prayers, they help us connect to Krishna more deeply. And not only deeply, but in a very personal way. And here in this particular verse, the emphasis is on remembering the lotus feet of Krishna. Actually, you will find in the whole Srimad Bhagavatam, wherever prayers are there, the devotees offer prayers to the lotus feet. And in today's verse also. Not just Bhagavatam, you will see in Chaitanya Charitamrita also. Sri Chaitanya Prabhu Vande Yatpada Shreya Viryata Sangranata Karavrata Agya Siddhanta Sanmani. By the mercy of the power of the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya, even a foolish person, if he enters the mine of scriptures, he can get the valuable jewels of love for Krishna. Like this, in a very poetic way, Kaviraj Goswami glorifies the mercy of the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, everywhere this lotus feet is emphasized. And so many Vaishnava bhajans, the feet of the devotee, feet of the Lord. Nitai Pada Kamala, Lord Nityananda's lotus feet can relieve us of all the material hankering and lamentation. And the feet of devotees also glorified. Tadera Charana Sevi Bhakta Sanevas. And like that many, you know, in the prayers of Vaishnava Acharyas. Pratijanme Kuri Asha Charanera Dhuli Narottame. So Narottam Das Thakur has written many bhajans where he is glorifying the feet of devotees, lotus feet of Krishna. This is a very common theme. There are two very striking points, you know, in the scriptures you will find. Lotus feet being emphasized of Krishna and of devotees. And every sadhaka is offering prayers to these lotus feet. And today's verse also emphasizes on this. Actually, these are the two striking points. One is the feet of the Lord or feet of the devotees, and secondly, its comparison with lotus flower. This is a very common thing in our scriptures. And to increase our meditation today and to help us offer a more meaningful prayers to Krishna in our devotional service, so that our hearts, our wretched hearts get purified, today we'll briefly discuss this principle or this concept of lotus feet of the Lord. We'll discuss, if we have time, four topics. At least one or two we'll discuss of these four topics. First is, why discuss about lotus feet of Krishna? Why lotus feet has been emphasized so much? Why feet and then why lotus feet? Secondly, what is the meaning of shelter of the lotus feet? Many times we hear this, we should take shelter of the lotus feet of devotees, shelter. So what does that mean? Thirdly, who is qualified to see the lotus feet of Krishna? Because we may be taking darshan of the lotus feet, but we may not be seeing. Pashyan api na pashyati. So what is the qualification to see? And fourthly, how to start meditating on the lotus feet of Krishna? So why, what, who and how? Why lotus feet has been emphasized? What is the meaning of taking shelter of lotus feet? And who is qualified to see the lotus feet of Krishna? And finally, how to meditate upon this lotus feet of Krishna. So first, why lotus feet is mentioned in scriptures? This is very beautifully answered in the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, in the 16th chapter, where Maharaj Parikshit is confronting Kali. So, Suta Goswami begins the chapter by saying that, my dear sages, one day Parikshit Maharaj was going in his kingdom and he chastised Kali, was dressed like a Shudra and was beating a bull, and he had broken the legs of the bull and he was beating the cow. So the sages become immediately uncomfortable, because during those days no one could think of beating cow and killing the bull. So they immediately they tell the sage that, please, 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 tell us about Krishna and tell us this pastime which you are now narrating, if it is connected to Krishna. Tat katayatam mahabhaga yadi Krishna katashrayam. If this discussion is going to help us take shelter of Krishna, continue. And then they say, atavasya padam boja makaranda liham satam kim anyer asad alaper aisho yad asad vyaya. That, my dear Suta Goswami, what is the use of discussing any topic other than the lotus feet of Krishna? Because in the lotus feet of Krishna, there is nectar flowing. Atavasya padam boja makaranda liham satam. And we are like the bumblebees who want to taste this nectar coming from Krishna's lotus feet. That means Krishna Katha is compared to the nectar that is flowing from the lotus feet of Krishna, the honey. Kim anyer asad alaper. Why discuss about useless subject matters? Because that will only take away our life. Aisho yad asadvayam. No use. So in that purport, Srila Prabhupada writes a beautiful point. Why everywhere in scriptures, lotus feet is mentioned? Srila Prabhupada says, when Krishna is in Golok Vrindavan and performing pastimes, the whole Goloka is shaped, the shape of Goloka is in the form of a lotus flower. So Krishna's feet are in the lotus flower. And when he comes to material world to perform pastimes, Krishna gets the spiritual Golok Vrindavan to the material world also. So that the whole of a lotus, the shape of the lotus flower is there in the material world also. So Krishna's feet do not leave that lotus, whether even in the spiritual world or in the material world. And therefore, his feet is compared to lotus flower, lotus feet, because he is always on the lotus flower, on the lotus shape of Vrindavan. That is the first reason. And second, Prabhupada says, because lotus is the most beautiful flower in the material world, so Krishna's feet are compared to the lotus flower because Krishna's feet are very beautiful. That is the whole idea. Actually, lotus is a very soothing flower. Of course, we should clarify, Krishna's beauty is not restricted to a lotus flower. It's not that Krishna is as beautiful as a lotus flower, period. No. In material world, we have no conception of beauty. So, to give us some idea about how beautiful Krishna is, the lotus flower is used as an example. But that doesn't mean Krishna is only as beautiful as a lotus flower. Krishna is trillions and trillions and unlimited time more beautiful than the millions of lotus flowers. But we have no idea about what is Krishna's beauty. We are in the material world. So to make us understand to a certain extent, lotus flowers analogy is given. Burijan Prabhu was once saying that when we go back to spiritual world or when we become fully realized, one of the first things we will tell Krishna is, when we actually see Krishna's beauty, we will tell him, oh Krishna, this is how you are. This is how beautiful you are. How foolish I was. I was thinking you are beautiful like a full moon. You are beautiful like a lotus flower. Oh, I had no idea. This is how beautiful you are. So this is what is going to happen to us when we become self-realized. And when we actually realize Krishna's beauty, we'll realize that the lotus flower moon was just given an example so that we can understand how unlimitedly beautiful Krishna is. So we may not be so attracted to the beauty of the Lord now. The Lord's lotus feet may appear to be, according to our mundane vision, just a marble, some tulsis and chandan is there. But when we get purified, we experience more and more beauty in that form of the Lord. Tarunam ramaniyanga, more and more fresh. Exactly opposite of material world. Material world, the media may glorify and glamorize some beauty. But when you remove that thin facade, and then you actually see, it's so disgusting. But in spiritual circles, The beauty may appear ordinary, but when you get purified, the real beauty starts manifesting in our heart. I had one experience when we were in college. We were doing one project. So one of our research professor who was helping us, she was a very good professor, and her daughter was a famous heroine in Bollywood. A young lady, she was a young girl, and she had become a big star. We knew that, but some of you were engaged in our project. So one day this professor told us to come to our house for completing the report. So I and one of my colleagues, both of us went, we rang the bell. So one lady opened the door. So immediately, instantly we thought it was a servant maid. So we said, "Madam, hai kya?" We want to see the madam. So immediately this lady said in English, "Yeah, come in." And when she said that, we realized, oh, she is the one whom we have seen on the movies. And we couldn't believe, because she was so ugly. And we were just, what we had seen on the screen. And for a moment we were completely, you know, shaken, that's how the media glamorizes. And then we were doing the project, madam was there and we were working, and suddenly one old man came in. He was walking up and down in the house. So we thought he is the father of this girl and husband of our madam. And then after some time he told this lady, "Okay, mommy, see you." And he went out with this girl. And then I realized this man was actually a very famous movie director who was the husband of this girl. He had got married to this young girl who was younger than his daughter's age, you know. And both of them were so unattractive physically, but they were so much glamorized by the world. And then it was such a kind of a jolt we got. Even before we came to Krishna consciousness, we could see that. There's so much difference in what the media portrays as beautiful and what actually is the beauty. It's exactly opposite of spiritual circles. In spiritual circles, we may, because of our conditioning, we may think this beauty is not so attractive. But as we get purified, the real beauty starts manifesting. So this is a very important point. In spiritual world, as we get purified, it's more and more beauty. So when Srila Prabhupada was in Africa, he once said, "Krishna is beautiful like a monsoon cloud, he is black." So all the Africans were sitting and they started smiling and they started looking at each other. Oh, Krishna is black and we are black, so, you know. So Prabhupada could see that they are smiling because they are relating to Krishna's beauty, being he is black, we are also black. So Prabhupada said, "Krishna is black, but not like you." His black is transcendental. So therefore, Krishna's beauty is compared to lotus flower, because lotus is the most beautiful in this material world. And even now, actually Kali Yuga is so rampant, but even now we can see. I was in South India recently, last week. I was in one small town. And there we have a base. And the owner of the base, the lady, she has a beautiful garden of Brahma Kamal. The Brahma Kamal lotus flower, very special kind of lotus flower. And this one lotus flower is fragrant in the whole terrace. It's so fragrant. It's so beautiful. And all the newspapers had come and taken the photo of that. And, you know, he was interviewed and all that. Because it's a very rare flower. Very difficult to maintain it. We were wishing that we could get it for Radha Gopinath. But so beautiful. And I was thinking that this is Kali Yuga, 2011. So much contamination. And still we have such attractive, beautiful flowers. So pleasing, so soothing. How it must have been 5,000 years ago during Krishna's time, and how lotus flowers must be in spiritual world, and how unlimitedly beautiful Krishna must be, you know. So we can get some idea about how Krishna is so beautiful. But this is the first topic. Why lotus feet? Why being compared to the lotus feet is because Krishna is beautiful and lotus flower is the most beautiful thing in this material world. So to give us some idea about Krishna's beauty and the beauty of Krishna's feet, lotus is used as a comparison. Now we'll discuss what is the actual meaning of taking shelter of Krishna's lotus feet. There are two meanings. One is the literal meaning. First we'll take that. Literally what it means is we actually meditate on Krishna's lotus feet. Like Mayavadis, you know, they meditate on impersonal, they meditate on some red light. So for a bhakti yogi, the literal meaning of remembering lotus feet or taking shelter means he actually remembers the lotus feet of Krishna. Manidhi Maharaj explains in his book that a devotee, he goes in front of the Lord or has a photo of the Lord. He intently gazes at the beautiful form and drinks the nectar of the Lord's beauty with his eyes. This is the process he is mentioning. And then by taking darshan, then the devotee closes his eyes, and while his eyes are closed, he visualizes this feet of Krishna and meditates on this lotus feet of Krishna. This is smaranam. This is remembering the lotus feet of Krishna. This is the meaning of taking shelter of Krishna. This is the bona fide process mentioned in the Nectar of Devotion, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Rupa Goswami gives 64 items of devotional service. Different ways we can practice bhakti. The 45th item is this, remembering the Lord, smaranam. And 46th is dhyan, meditation. Difference between remembering and meditation is, remembrance means we are remembering Krishna in a general way, some pastimes of Krishna, qualities of Krishna. But meditation means we actually go deeper and in a more detailed way we remember Krishna. That is called as meditation. And then Rupa Goswami gives 4 ways we can do meditation of Krishna. One is Rupa Dhyan, Leela Dhyan, you know, Guna Dhyan, like that. Seva Dhyan, you can meditate on service to Krishna, Krishna's pastimes, Krishna's qualities, and Rupa, Krishna's beauty. So meditating on Krishna's lotus feet is a bona fide way, and that is one of the meanings of taking shelter of Krishna's lotus feet. So when we do that, the heart becomes free from all the lust. We experience relief also, and we experience nourishment also. Pada mulam na munchati mukta sarva pariklesha. All the klesha, all the hankering goes away when we meditate, visualize this lotus feet of Krishna. And there are many verses also. Basically, what all this proves is how Krishna consciousness is very practical. It's not simply theory. By constantly meditating on the lotus feet of Krishna, we actually get purified and we actually come closer to Krishna. And there are many examples in scriptures of devotees who have actually engaged in this kind of meditation. You can see in the first canto itself, we find Mother Earth, she is in the form of a cow, and Dharma is in the form of bull, and when Kali is beating, so Dharma is asking Mother Earth, what is the cause of your lamentation? Why are you crying? So she is giving different reasons, but she ends the chapter, when she is coming to the end of the chapter, she is actually revealing the real reason why she is crying. She is feeling intense separation from Krishna's lotus feet. Brahmadayo bahutitam yadapanga moksha kamastapa samacharan bhagavat prapanna sashri svavasam aravindavanam vihaya yat padasau bhagamalam bhajate nurakta. She is saying, my dear Dharma, I am actually remembering the lotus feet of Krishna because many demigods, including Brahma, they worship Krishna, but they actually want mercy of Lakshmi Devi. So they are looking for the mercy of Lakshmi Devi, so they worship Lord Krishna. And this Lakshmi Devi, who is sought after by all the demigods also, she leaves her forest of lotus flowers where she has a permanent place. She leaves that and she goes and takes shelter of Krishna's lotus feet. So this lotus feet of Krishna I am meditating upon, which Lakshmiji is desperately wanting to serve. And what is the speciality about this lotus feet? Tasyaham abja kulishankushaketu kete Srimat Pader Bhagavata Samalankritangi Trinatya rocha upalabhya tato vibhutim lokan samam vesrajat utsmayatim tadante. She says, this lotus feet has impressions. Kulisha, thunderbolt, the impression of a thunderbolt. Ankusha, the rod that drives the elephant. Ketu, flag, umbrella, all these symbols, all these impressions are there on Krishna's lotus feet. and I'm meditating upon these impressions, this lotus feet. Shrimat Padair Bhagavata Samalankritang. This is the opulence. My body, Mother Earth is saying, my body was decorated by this lotus feet, and Krishna is exquisitely beautiful, is decorated with the most beautiful ornaments, but this is the most beautiful ornament on Krishna's body, the impressions on his lotus feet. And because these impressions were decorating my body, Trin Atya Rocha Upalabhya Tato Vibhutin, I was the most fortunate person in the whole planetary systems, in all the planetary systems. But now, when I was feeling proud that this Krishna is walking on my body, just when I was feeling happy and proud, Krishna has left me and gone back to the spiritual world. So just remembering this, I'm feeling very, very pained. So like that, she's meditating on Krishna's lotus feet. So Krishna's lotus feet has 19 impressions. 8 on the left, 8 impressions are on the left feet, and the 11 on the right. And as Mother Earth is lamenting that, oh, Krishna has left, we have no hope, I'm feeling so much pain. Prabhupada writes in the purport, very hope-giving purport. He says, it's not that Krishna has left and Krishna is not there. We can still experience the presence of Krishna's lotus feet in our lives if we take shelter of Krishna's holy name, because Krishna has come in the form of holy name. So there is nothing in this material world which is without the touch of Krishna's lotus feet, if we can somehow remember the holy name of Krishna. So like that we find, even Kunti Devi, she prays, Nayam Shobhishate Tatra Yatadanim Gadadara Tvat Padair Ankita Bhati Salakshana Vilakshite. Krishna, now that you are going away, leaving us, whatever opulence, whatever fortune we had, that was because your lotus feet were there on this Hastinapur. Those impressions were there. Now you are going away, our kingdom will be devoid of that. So if your lotus feet is not there in our kingdom, then we have no opulence. There is no beauty. So like that, Mother Earth is offering beautiful prayers. And the last prayer she offers is very beautiful. Kavasaheta viraham purushottamasya premavalokaruchira smitaval gujalpe steryam samanamaharan madumanini nam romotsavo mamayadangri vitankitaya. She's saying, Kavasaheta, who can tolerate the separation from Krishna's lotus feet? How can I remove my feelings of separation? Because when Krishna was there, he was performing so many pastimes. Prema Valoka, his glance was full of love. Ruchira Smita, his smile was so pleasing. Valgu Jalpe, and his talking was so attractive that he would control the mana, the anger of his sweethearts like Satyabhama with very beautiful talking. So I'm remembering this personality, and as I'm remembering how he used to walk on my body, Romotsavo Mamaya Dangri Vitankitaya, the hairs on my body, which is compared to the grasses and trees on planet Earth. Just like we have hairs on the body. Mother Earth's hairs on the body is the grasses. So all the grasses were, you know, standing. All the trees were flourishing. So there was greenery everywhere. So she's saying, I'm feeling intense separation. And Prabhupada writes a beautiful purport saying that, who was feeling more separation from Krishna? The queens of Dwarka or Mother Earth? He asked this question. He says, Mother Earth. Because when Krishna was on this planet, sometimes he would leave Dwarka and go to different places. So, the queens of Dwarka sometimes would feel separation. So, they had already experienced separation. But Mother Earth, wherever Krishna walked, he was on Mother Earth only. So, Mother Earth never experienced separation from Krishna. So, now when Krishna has actually left, she is feeling most intense separation. So, like that, Prabhupada gives a very nice understanding. So, this is a way we can understand. And everywhere in Bhagavatam we have this third canto, also the four Kumaras, how they give up the attachment to impersonalist conception because of the lotus feet of Krishna. Tasya Aravinda Nayanasya Padaravinda Kinjalka Mishra Tulasi Makaranda Vayu Antargata Swavivarena Chakara Tesham Sankshobha Makshara Jusham Apichitta Tanvo. When they were entering Vaikuntha and they were stopped by Jai Vijay, and Lord Vishnu comes out, the dust of the lotus feet of Lord Vishnu, which is mixed with Tulsi, and that fragrance is carried by the air, and that enters the nostrils of the four Kumaras, and they become transcendently maddened, and they give up their attachment to the impersonalist conception. So it's so amazing. See, Mayavad has no rasa. Impersonalist path has no rasa. They meditate on some vague light We have a, in our neighborhood only, we have an organization. They're very nice people. But they meditate on light, red light. There is no rasa in it. There is no juice. But devotees, rasagraha, they experience rasa because they can meditate. If we can work hard, like the Mayavadis, they work very hard in trying to get some rasa, some juice out of tasteless things. They really work hard. If we can work hard like them and meditate upon the lotus feet of Krishna, then how much rasa we can experience? Because Krishna is a person. Not only is a person, he's a beautiful person. And his lotus feet are so beautiful. And if we can meditate on his lotus feet, we can also experience connection to Krishna. This is also very beautifully elaborated by Prabhupada in one purport. When Kunti Devi, you know, she prays that Krishna, nobody can know you. Those who are attached to wealth, opulence, beauty, they can never know you. She says like that. Janmaishwarya Shruta Shribhi. The next verse, she again says that only materially impoverished people can know you. Namo kinchana vittaya nivruta gunavrittaye atmaramaya shantaya kevalya pataye nama. Krishna, you are the property of the materially impoverished people. Materially impoverished devotees. And you are transcendental to the modes of material nature. You are peaceful. You are self-satisfied. So it's interesting. Two verses, continuous verses, Kunti Devi has said, how Krishna is the property of those who are materially impoverished. Somebody may think, akinchana, one who doesn't have anything, how can Krishna be his property? How can somebody give up everything? So Prabhupada writes a very beautiful purport. He says, devotees don't give up anything just like that. He says, a child may give up playing sports because he is interested in studies for getting something better. Then Prabhupada gives the example of a businessman. He may give up some business because he wants to have a better business. Then Prabhupada says, like that, you know, somebody may give up a job because he wants a better job. So he says, similarly, if devotees have become akinchan, if they have given up everything, it is not for nothing. Prabhupada says, because they may have given up, but they have a big treasure. The exact statement Prabhupada writes is, they have a secret treasure house at the lotus feet of the Lord. For that is their secret treasure. And because they want this treasure, they are willing to give up material things. So like that, Prabhupada writes, therefore, remembrance of shelter of lotus feet of Krishna, the first literal understanding is that we want to meditate on the lotus feet of Krishna. That is the wealth of a devotee. Actually, Kadam Kanan Swami Maharaj once beautifully explained that remembrance of Krishna comes before experiencing feelings for Krishna. Many times people say, I don't have any feelings, you know, I want to get feelings for Krishna. There is no bhava, there is no emotion in my heart. So he was saying, feelings will come, but they will come later. First, we have to remember Krishna. Remembrance of lotus feet comes before, because we can't artificially get feelings for Krishna. So the first step is to start remembering the lotus feet of Krishna, remembering the form of Krishna, remembering pastimes of Krishna. So this is the first understanding of what is the meaning of taking shelter of lotus feet. Another understanding, a very deeper understanding is, this means, taking shelter of lotus feet means actually assuming a very low position and surrendering to Krishna in humility. Like, you know, some big man is there and somebody goes to him and falls at his feet and holds on to his feet and begs for grace, mercy. And that big man, he may say, okay, you know, I give you something. So it requires a lot of humility to fall at someone's feet and grab onto someone's feet. Because feet is the lowest part of the body. And when we surrender to that, that means we are actually taking a low position. So shelter of lotus feet means coming to Krishna and saying, Krishna, I am nothing, I will be nothing. You are everything. I'm insignificant, basically. That is the point, that is the mood of taking shelter of lotus feet. Actually, many times we are not aware of this. Initial days, when I joined the ashram a few years ago, you know, we used to have competition. I take your dust and you take my dust and we try to avoid. So more than actually wanting mercy, more than actually taking a humble position, it would become like an ego battle, competition. I remember at that time we had one brahmachari senior to us. He used to always take everybody's dust. So a few of us got very angry one day, 6-7 of us. So we made a plan. So suddenly we picked him up one day. And three people are holding him from behind, three in the front. He was like a dead body you carry, like that they're carrying. And the whole ashram, all the brahmacharis came and rubbed their head against his feet as if to take revenge. And then one smart brahmachari came and put a bucket of water, and then it became Charanamrit, and everybody drank. So full ragging. And after that day, he never took anybody's rest. So, but that was done out of, you know, we will take revenge. And yes. So even in that taking dust, the mood was, you know, it was not actually, mood was not that I'm servant, I want to take shelter, I need mercy. So when we say taking shelter of lotus feet, it actually means I'm insignificant and I want to serve you, Krishna. So like that when we have to pray. In India, many pious people also take dust of sadhus, of holy people. But that is also not the highest. You know, there also the mood is, I take dust because then my business will become good. I take dust because my daughter will get married, or I take dust because I need some material things. The actual standard is, taking shelter of lotus feet, taking dust means I want to serve. I want to render service to Krishna. Yesterday I was hearing one lecture while coming back from Vada of Visualinath Radhana Swami Maharaj on lotus feet. A very beautiful description he gave. He was saying that when we see Krishna's lotus feet, we are there, Krishna's lotus feet is there. But there is something between both of us. And that is the dust, which is very fine particle. So the connection to Krishna is, the dust has the connection to Krishna. So if we are saying, I want to get connected to Krishna, we have to become like that dust, which is connected to Krishna. That means, dust is insignificant, we can't even notice it. So we have to become insignificant. And we have the example of the gopis, who are experiencing conjugal pastimes with Krishna. But in the 10th canto, we find prayers where they are saying that, Krishna, we want to become the dust at your lotus feet. So this is the mood of Vrindavan. This is the mood in bhakti, that I want to serve, I want to be the lowest. Uddhava, he wants to be a gulmalatha, he wants to be on the outskirts of Vrindavan so that the gopis can trample upon him. Akrura, how does he enter Vrindavan? When he enters Vrindavan, he sees Krishna's footprints, immediately becomes ecstatic, he jumps off the chariot, he pays dandavat to those footprints of Krishna and starts rolling on the ground. And Prabhupada writes a purport there in the Krishna book, that this is the way we should enter Vrindavan. We should give up all our position and upadhis, because Akrura was a very big person, but he gave up all that position. In that mode, we should take shelter of Krishna. And once there is one step higher we can go, and that is by going one step lower. That means taking shelter of Krishna's lotus feet means taking shelter of the lotus feet of Krishna's devotees. So that is actually even more pleasing. Yat pada samshaya suta munaya prashamayana sadyo punantupasrishta swarduni aponu sevaya. Shaunaka Rishi tells Suta Goswami in the Bhagavatam that you are a pure devotee because you are always thinking of Krishna's lotus feet. So your lotus feet are equally powerful. So if we can take shelter of your lotus feet, that is more powerful and more benedictory than taking bath in the river Ganga. And there also Prabhupada writes a beautiful purport. He says, that is why pure devotees are called as Vishnupad or Prabhupad, because they have taken shelter of Krishna's lotus feet, for their lotus feet are equally powerful. So, and then Prabhupada writes one more nice point in that purport, that why devotees we have to approach, because just like we have chairman, then we have vice chairman. So we have Lord and we have vice lords. So vice lords are pure devotees of Krishna. So when we take shelter of their lotus feet, we get the same mercy. And in Bhagavatam, many places you find shelter of the lotus feet of devotees also being given equal importance. Prahlad Maharaj, when he's having that confrontation with his father, when his father is confronting him, Hiranyakashipu is about to kill his son, and Prahlad Maharaj fearlessly tells him that you cannot understand the importance of surrendering to Krishna. What you need is mercy of the lotus feet of a pure devotee. Naisham matis tavad urukramangri sparshat anartha pagamo yadartha mai asam padarajobhishekam nishkinchananam namrinitayavat. You have to smear your body with the dust of the lotus feet of a pure devotee like Narad Muni. Then, my dear father, you will be able to understand Krishna consciousness. So like that. So devotee's lotus feet is also considered equally powerful. Sri Chaitanya Padam Bhoja Madhu Pebhya Namo Nama Katanchid Ashraya Desham Shwapitad Ganda Bhag Bhavet. Kaviraj Goswami says, devotees are like bumblebees. And Lord Chaitanya's lotus feet as nectar, honey. So bumblebee is attracted to honey. Similarly, pure devotees are attracted to the lotus feet of Krishna. And a dog is generally not interested in all these things. Prabhupada writes, dog is very offensive to even tulsi plant. Dog has no understanding. But Kaviraj Goswami is saying that if somehow this dogish non-devotee, if he can somehow get attached to a devotee, Shwapi tad gandha bhag bhave, then even he can experience the gandha, the fragrance of the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Because the madhupebhya namo nama, because the devotees are experiencing that nectar. So if somebody can come in contact with those devotees, they can also experience that nectar. So this is the second understanding, that taking shelter of lotus feet of Krishna means actually surrendering ourselves and taking a low position. And a higher understanding is surrendering to Krishna's devotees, pure devotees. So this is the second topic we discussed today. Yeah, taking shelter of Krishna's lotus feet, literal meaning, that is remembering the lotus feet of Krishna, and the deeper meaning is taking shelter means taking a low position and being humble to Krishna and Krishna's devotees. Now we'll briefly discuss what is the qualification to see Krishna, Krishna's lotus feet. This is also explained very beautifully by Kunti Devi. She explains Krishna, how you are so beautiful, how you are performing pastimes of being caught by Mother Yashoda. It's so bewildering to me. Gopya dade tvai krita gatidama tavad. And then she starts analyzing, she starts giving different reasons why Krishna comes to this material world. She expresses the opinion of different people. First she says, Krishna, your pastimes are so transcendentally bewildering to me. Then she says, some people say you come because you want to glorify King Yadu. Kechidau rajam jatam punya shlokasya kirtaye. Just like Malaya Chandan is found in Malaya Hills and they are popularly known as Malaya Chandan. Similarly, you are known as a Yadava because you have taken birth in Yadu family. Then she says, but there are some others who say that you come because you want to glorify Vasudev and Devaki because they prayed for you. Apare Vasudevasya Devakyam Yachito Bhagat. Some say you are coming because you want to kill demons. And then she says, some people say you are coming because you want to reduce the burden of Mother Earth. Bara Vatarana Yanye. Yivo Nava Bhuvodado. How the boat is unstable in the sea. Similarly, this planet Earth was unstable. So you have come to reduce the burden. Like that. And then she says, there are some others. The last reason she gives, why you have come. She says, there are some who say you have come because you want to revive the process of hearing and chanting. Bhavesmin klishya mananam avidya kama karma bhi shravana smarana arhani karishyaniti kechana. Klishya mananam, full of suffering in this material world. Everybody is suffering. Whether you are a brahmachari, sannyasi, householder, housewife, as long as this wicked mind is there, everybody is suffering. Klishya mananam, and because of avidya, Prabhupada connects all the three points. Avidya means ignorance of our identity. Because of our ignorance, there is kama, lust, desire to enjoy. And because of this desire to enjoy, there is karma, fruitive activities. So, and because of this karma, we go through repeated birth and death. So, how much we are suffering? So, therefore, Kunti Devi is saying, Shravana Smarana Harani. So, you have come, you have performed pastimes, so that we can hear those pastimes, so that we can glorify those pastimes, and we can get out of this cycle. So, she has given different reasons of different people. Now she gives her own verdict. What is her understanding? Why Krishna appears? In that verse, which is an immediate next verse, she says, Shrinvanti gayanti grananta bhikshnasha smaranti nandanti tavehitam jana taeva pashyanta chirena tavakam bhava pravaha paramam padambujam. She's saying, Krishna, if somebody hears about you, glorifies you, remembers you, what will happen? And if somebody becomes happy on seeing others glorify you, others chant your names, then achirena tavakam, very very soon, bhava pravaha, he will get out of this material world, paramam padambujam, he can see your lotus feet, he can actually get shelter of your lotus feet. So Prabhupada writes a beautiful purport there, that when hearing process is perfect and complete, other processes become automatically perfect in their own way. So this has to be first given most importance. Again, and immediately after this sentence, another sentence Prabhupada writes, in the very next sentence. Again, if hearing process is perfect, then all other processes are taken care of. So twice Prabhupada writes. Actually, Prabhupada would be very angry sometimes when devotees wouldn't be there in class. He would say, why devotees are not there? And one devotee said, Prabhupada, they are doing service. Prabhupada said, for service? This is a very important service, Prabhupada said. You cannot, see, for service you can employ people. But for hearing, you cannot employ people. Of course, you have to clarify. If you are hearing Krishna Katha without a service attitude, that hearing is useless. The attitude has to be of wanting to serve Krishna, definitely. But at the same time, hearing is also a very big responsibility. It's a very important service. And if somebody has taste for hearing and chanting, he's a very special devotee. He's very humble because he's sitting and hearing. Because what you are saying without opening your mouth by hearing is, I don't know what is right, please reveal to me. That is the message a person is conveying without speaking. So hearing is very, very important service. When Dayaram Prabhu was in Mayapur, managing, he created one special room for those brahmacharis who want to chant 64 rounds every day. So he was creating facility. He was actually revealing the second qualification that Kunti Devi is saying. Nandanti tave hitam jana. Not only you should be happy hearing and chanting, you should be happy seeing others engaging in hearing and chanting. So second qualification is non-enviousness. Along with hearing and chanting, one should be so joyful on seeing somebody has taste for hearing and chanting. So we may not have taste. We may be envious also. We may feel hopeless. No, there is no need to feel hopeless. Because we can identify ourselves with Kaliya. Kaliya was also envious. He had no taste to hear and glorify Krishna. But he allowed Krishna to dance on his hoods. So Krishna has come in the form of holy name. And our tongue is also like a snake only, very slippery. The snake's hoods are slippery. If we allow Krishna to dance on the tongue like serpent, we allow Krishna to dance on our tongue in the form of the holy name, then all the purification will take place. Everything will come out. You know, where devotees explain that how when they start chanting, they actually feel all these, you know, negative emotions. Like Kaliya, when Krishna was dancing on his hoods, all the poison and blood, everything he started vomiting out. So when we start chanting, all the envy, lust. Before coming to ISKCON, I don't think any of us knew that we had lust or we had envy. Or now we start feeling like that. That means the process is working. One devotee was saying that his parents are not very favorable, but they are not unfavorable also. They are okay, neutral. But when he chants at home, somehow he feels very angry towards them. He was saying that I felt like picking up a stick and beating all of them. Prabhu, what is this? Why is this holy name doing this to me? Why am I feeling so angry with everyone? I said, just hold on, no problem. Just continue chanting. So chanting is actually very purifying. So if you can hold on to the holy name and pray to Krishna, just like Kaliya prayed, repeating the prayers of Nagpatnis, we can also repeat the prayers of Acharyas and demigods. And sincerely pray to Krishna and chant, depend on Krishna, then we'll get purified. So although we may be unqualified right now, because both qualifications we may not have, taste for hearing also we may not have, and we may be envious also, but if we can hold on and take shelter of Krishna, pray to Krishna, then we have hope. So this is the qualification to see Krishna's lotus feet, and we'll finally conclude with how to meditate on Krishna's lotus feet. Ekaika shongani dhyanu bhavaye pada diyavad hasitam gadabrita. Jitam jitam sthanam apoya dharayet param param shudyati dhiryatayata. The second canto Shukdev Goswami says, ekai kashongani dhyanu bhavet. Step by step, from the lotus feet we go up, hasitam gadabhrita, then come to the face of Krishna. So we may meditate by going from lotus feet, then come up to the face of Krishna. And Prabhupada writes in the purport, a whole paragraph on lust, how the biggest problem in this world is lust. And if we can meditate on Krishna's lotus feet and then go up slowly, then the lust will be removed from the heart. And also this has another meaning, that just like Krishna's lotus feet we approach first, we approach the first canto and second canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, they are compared to the lotus feet of Krishna. And the 10th canto is compared to the face of Krishna. So we systematically study Bhagavatam and go up. Bhaktivedanta Saraswati Thakur gave 3 months class every day on the first verse of Bhagavatam. For the first canto itself is so powerful. So prematurely some people jump into Ras Leela. So that is not correct. We have to go through the first canto. Similarly, we're taking darshan, we go through lotus feet. Of course, spontaneously sometimes we may be so happy during Shringara Darshan, we may just take darshan of the deities. That's okay. Spontaneity is okay. But we should follow the process also. We have to actually take darshan from the lotus feet. That also has to be done. And meditating on the lotus feet also means remembering the instructions of the spiritual master always. Prabhupada writes in the fourth canto purport that one will not find Krishna in the bushes of Vrindavan. One can find Krishna in the instructions of the spiritual master. So Arjuna was experiencing this. When he was feeling intense separation from Krishna, he meditated on Krishna's lotus feet and as well as Krishna's instructions. Evam chintayato jishno Krishna pada saroruham saurdenati gadena shanta sid vimalamati. He experienced freedom from all contamination when he meditated on Krishna's lotus feet and he remembered Krishna's instructions. When Krishna left this world, Arjuna was very devastated, he was bewildered, he was confused. But he revived his memory by meditating on Krishna's lotus feet and the instructions that Krishna had given. So this is our goal. We want to meditate on Krishna's lotus feet, remember the instructions of the spiritual master, because at the time of death, this is what is going to help. All this we are discussing about lotus feet, the goal is, the final exam is death. At the time of death, we will be able to remember Krishna's lotus feet if we start practicing now. This is also very convincingly explained by Prabhupada. When Parikshit Maharaj is about to leave his body, he tells all the sages that I am ready to leave my body. Let that magical bird Takshaka come. Tammo payatam pratyantu vipra. Let me leave this body. Please sing the glories of Vishnu. Prabhupada writes a very small purport. He says, what we need during the time of death? We need these two things, Prabhupada says. First is, we need an environment created by devotees to help us remember Krishna. And second, a devotee's conscious willingness and acceptance of Krishna is also needed. So when we meditate on Krishna's lotus feet, when we follow the instructions of the spiritual master, at the time of death, our conscious acceptance of Krishna will be there. Of course, Krishna's mercy is what will take us back, but from our side, we have to try. I remember when Sokrishna Prabhu was living, his spiritual master was telling him, Prabhu, give up everything, give up all your attachments, forget your house, forget everything, just focus on Krishna, absorb in Krishna. This is Bhagavatam. Bhishma Dev, when he was leaving his body, Sadeva Devo Bhagavan Pratikshitam Kalevaram Myavad Idam Anomyaham. Krishna is standing and Bhishma Dev is meditating on Krishna's beautiful form. And Prabhupada writes in the purport, devotee should meditate on the lotus feet of the Lord, the form of the Lord. And Prabhupada ends that purport by saying, this is the highest ambition of a devotee, of wanting to go back home, back to Godhead by remembering Krishna's lotus feet. So to conclude today's class, we discussed mainly four points. We discussed first the topic of why we discuss the lotus feet. Because lotus is the most beautiful flower, we discussed how Krishna's beauty is unlimitedly more than a lotus flower. Second, we discussed what is the meaning of taking shelter of lotus feet, that is literal meaning, which means remembering the lotus feet, visualizing, meditating. And the second, more deeper meaning is actually, what is the deeper meaning of taking shelter of Krishna's lotus feet? Instructions. Actually, taking shelter of Krishna's lotus feet means being humble. Considering ourselves as fallen. And a higher level of that is to be fallen and serving Krishna's pure devotees. So that is the meaning of taking shelter of lotus feet. And then we discuss the qualification to see Krishna's lotus feet, that is hearing, chanting, and the quality of non-enviousness. And even if we have envy, we can take shelter of the holy name and pray to be free from this disease. And then we discuss how to meditate on Krishna's lotus feet by step, going from the lotus feet to Krishna's face. And most importantly, meditating on the instructions of the spiritual master and following them. So to conclude, I would like to just briefly tell this small thing. In Vrindavan once, in a place between Nandgaon and Govardhan, there is one special Kalpavriksha tree where two parrots, Shuka and Sari, they were standing. And Shuka saw the footprints of Krishna. And Shuka told Sari, can you see beautiful footprints of Krishna? And he immediately became upside down. You know, his face on the ground, and Sari also followed, and both of them were hanging on the tree branch, and Sari said, what is special about today's footprint of Krishna? And Shuka said, today is very special because Krishna played the flute and everyone went mad. All the birds, all the cowherd boys, peacocks, everybody was dancing as Krishna was playing flute, and everybody became so mad that Krishna also started dancing. And therefore, today's footprints, what you are seeing is Krishna's dancing footprints. Therefore, you can see Krishna's front part of the feet is pressed and it is more deeper impression on the ground. And the back part is not visible because the back part is in the air of the feet. So seeing this, Sari became ecstatic. Both of them started becoming ecstatic and they became stunned like a stone. And the only thing that was moving was tears from their eyes. Incessant tears fell on that footprint of Krishna, and a puddle of water was created. And a beautiful lake was formed. And one insect was flying. This insect had achieved Brahman realization in the previous life. For this insect fell into that puddle of water and immediately died. And immediately it assumed a four-handed form. And the Vaikuntha Vasis came to take that insect. So the insect came and offered obeisances to Shuka and Sari. You are my gurus. You have delivered me from the cycle of repeated birth and death. And the insect now in the four-handed form went away. And Shuka and Sari were simply exclaiming loudly, Vrindavan Dham ki jai, Vrindavan Dham ki jai. This is the most special place of Vrindavan where we all want to go one day and attain the lotus feet of Krishna. Of course, it's going to be difficult. It's not going to be easy, but it's not impossible. In the shelter of association of all the wonderful Vaishnavas here, we can also attain one day that same abode of Vrindavan. Hum honge kamyab ek din. We can attain that lotus feet. Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. We will not take questions because it's beyond time. Hare Krishna.